jump right into it. Welcome back to the next episode of Sandy and the Blowfish podcast. It is into week 10 of the NFL season, so we're just going to keep talking about what we've been talking about time and time again. So I'd say the story of the last few weeks in the NFL has been Dalvin Cook on his absolute rampage back into the league after a series of injuries. Do we think that the Fighting Dalvin Cooks and the Vikings are going to be able to make a run for a playoff spot?
I mean, there's with the expanded format, seven teams go in this year. I think there's a shot. I mean, nobody. Packers couldn't stop him. Who'd they play? They played the Lions.
Yeah.
Lions couldn't line, but I mean, he's played like, what, four games this year, and he's got 843 yards or something.
It's ridiculous. A very high number, yes.
He's good.
Hot take.
He's good.
I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think their defense is too bad. Dalvin Cook is fun to watch. Will them to beating these teams, but I don't think they'll
if,
be able to.
If they take away the playoff spot from the NFC East, yes.
Oh yeah, they should consider.
They should consider it because no one in the NFC East deserves a playoff spot.
Do you think the NFL should move into a conference system like the NBA? Just the best 8, 10, however many teams make it in, and then I think it would make for a much more competitive playoff system.
It would, but then the NFC playoffs would just be the NFC West.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
But you'd also have to balance how many times you play other teams. Because with it, you could just get an easy schedule where you just play the NFC East teams. I guess it would be the NFC East then.
Well, even the NFC East is playing the NFC East right now, and it's not like anybody has an outstanding record.
Well, they've only played because they're bad.
Yeah, the NFC East is the only bad division that like is a serious issue.
But it's been like this for years now.
The Eagles won a Super Bowl in 2017.
Yeah.
They were 8-8 going into the pool. Or no, they were 10-6.
Okay.
Dallas won like 11 games the other year, yeah. A couple years ago.
Okay, and you know what? If they're good enough, they'll make the playoffs and they'll win a game. But I don't know. I'm just tired of the main thing I'm tired of is watching the NFC East in primetime because they just shove it down our throats every single week.
That's because America's team is the Cowboys, even though they haven't.
It's not even the Cowboys. It was like Giants and Eagles on Thursday night, like 2 weeks ago.
I mean, New York is the biggest city in the world.
I know. They just suck, and I hate it.
Look, dude, I know.
But did you watch the game?
I watched pretty much all of the games because we have a podcast.
That's the issue.
Yeah, we do our research.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody has a podcast, though, but they still get them ratings.
Yeah.
Ugh, okay. Well, another big story, I guess we could call, is the absolute dismantling of Tampa Bay against the Saints. I don't think we've talked about that on here. Do you think that has more to do with the Saints just being good to game plan around Tom Brady and that team? Do you think that Antonio Brown is already causing a ruckus? That's my favorite theory, is just Antonio Brown is just going to ruin Tampa Bay.
I didn't see how many snaps he played. I know he played. I know he had a couple catches, but I don't know how many snaps he played. I think it's just if you get pressure on Brady, the Bucs are a different team. Like, because Brady is over 40, he can't escape the pocket. He can't even throw it away quick enough anymore. So like, if you just get a sack on him, that the offense just stalls. And the Saints have been the best at sacking him. That's why they beat him twice.
Yeah, I think the first time the Saints beat him, everyone was like, "Oh, is this a fluke?" You know, Tampa's still learning to be a team. I think they game plan for him, they hit him, and then Tom he just kept focusing on the same targets over and over again. He targeted Gronk, I think, on two interceptions. And one of them was really, really bad. I think they just have their number, and sometimes that happens in the division. They're lucky they don't have to play the Saints again later down the road, but that was the Saints in Tampa, which is not a good sign.
No, it was surprising. Do you think that a team can win the Super Bowl this year with a non-mobile quarterback? Because you see pretty much every team that you would that has a not a mobile quarterback that just their people are learning to pressure them, and it's causing so many issues time and time again.
I think that just depends on the offensive line. Because if the quarterback's not getting pressured to begin with, doesn't even need to move, it's not an issue. Like, I think the Pittsburgh offensive line is good. Though Big Ben did get hit and injured. But I think, I mean, everyone's got the Steelers as a Super Bowl favorite right now because they're 8-0. Even though that win over the Cowboys was weak.
That was gross. It was I hated every second of it.
And I think it showed a lot of flaws with the Steelers. But I think the quarterback's most important player on the field. He's got to be able to do a lot of things. So if he doesn't have like a mobile part of his game, I think that hurts the team a lot.
I think just kind of how the new wave of quarterbacks are on the big teams. There's a certain level of mobility. I wouldn't say that Mahomes is like necessarily mobile. I would say he's athletic, but like mobile in my eyes, or I guess this is just the slant.
I would just say the ability to run. Like, because I wouldn't call Russell Wilson a mobile quarterback.
You
got
to be able to scramble
run.
On a third and long. When everyone's deep, you got to be able to scramble for a third and long and get the first
down. So, like, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater. Derek Carr's done it this year.
It's just the
ability. So, what you're asking is if you're over 40, can you win a Super Bowl this year?
It's not even 40. Look at, like...
Well, Big Ben can't run anymore.
He's 38.
Like, you look at somebody like Nick Foles, for example, who's just, like, a prime pocket quarterback. He can't do anything. And while you're right, it has a lot to do with the Bears' offensive line. I think it's just where the game is going currently, and I don't know if any team is going to be able to withstand that pressure for however many weeks it takes to make it to the Super Bowl and win that game without at least having one defense be able to figure it out. Because even if you are able to, like the Cardinals, for example, even if you're able to absolutely destroy that line, Kyler Murray is a top 10 running back in the league this year, along with being a quarterback.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, it's teams are becoming hyper-offensive, and a lot of those hyper-offensive teams use mobile quarterbacks to keep defenses on their toes.
Or you could just get rid of the ball really quick, like Drew Brees did against Tampa.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get, I don't think they got very much pressure on him at all that game. He was just quick release.
Yeah, he played,
it was
he
kind
played
of
well.
Like a Joe Flacco-esque game for Drew Brees.
I mean, it was an elite quarterback game, if that's what you're trying to say.
But it doesn't remove any of my earlier criticisms on the Saints. I mean, you can do it against Tampa, cool, but can you do it against anyone else?
They can't do it in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what it comes down to.
When I watch the Saints play football, I feel like I could be the defensive coordinator where it's just like, okay, cool. Let's put two guys on Alvin Kamara, and for 90% of their drives, you're just going to saw them out because it'll be pass, pass, and then Alvin Kamara does something crazy.
Yeah.
They get a little bit more options now that Michael Thomas is done punching teammates.
Yeah, hopefully.
Do you think so, or do you think we're moving into Mr. Big Chest category?
We're at the point in the season now where if he punches a teammate, he sits out like the first play, so he didn't start, but he comes right back in. It's what happened. I remember when Cam Newton was going through that, and he yelled at Rivera a couple years ago, and they didn't start him for the Seattle game. They didn't put him in for the first play, and then he played. They're not going to do anything. It's too late in the season.
Yeah, it is definitely too late. So another quick question that I had is we are about to re-enter Nick Chubb territory for the Cleveland Browns. And I believe all three of us here have tried to target Nick Chubb in fantasy in some way or another at a point in the year. Do you think that the Browns are going to be able to, like, sustain their success with two running backs? Do you think they're going to be able to show kind of what they did at the beginning of the year, even though they've fallen off a little bit as of late when they get Nick Chubb back?
No. I think Baker's somehow going to screw it up. Also, the games they've lost with Nick Chubb out really hurt them in the playoff standings because now I think the Raiders have a tiebreaker over them because they beat them. And there's like four teams that are 5-3 now. So they kind of put themselves in a little hole. And yeah.
I think they'll be able to do it against the Texans. I don't know if they'll be able to do it long term.
Well, I mean, Kareem Hunt, his contract expires at the end of the year. You have to imagine that he has gotten the stink off of him from the scandal that he had 2 years ago. And you think he's going to be probably the most expensive running back target this free agency in this upcoming year. What team would you like to see a Kareem Hunt type player on that you think that could really unlock a part of their offense?
Let's see. I mean, if you put Kareem Hunt.
The one that came to my mind immediately was Seattle.
No, Seattle would be really good. Chris Carson has played well the last few seasons, but he really unlocks
part of that. I say either LA team.
Yeah, I think that without a solid running back, I think, first of all, it would be great to see an elite talent play alongside Herbert, because that team's going to be really good for a long time to come. And even though the Rams like to do play action so often, they don't really have a running back. Like, Henderson isn't scaring anybody to allow them to truly unlock Jared Goff in that play action offense that they love to do.
If Henderson's scary within 1 yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of that. But didn't the Chargers just pay
Eckler.
Eckler, yeah. Who's an injury risk all the time. He didn't play last week.
He isn't.
No, he didn't play. I don't think he's played yet.
He played earlier.
He played the beginning of the year, yeah. But then he got hurt.
Can we talk about the rookie quarterbacks? Because we've got three of the big rookies playing now.
I would love to talk about the rookie quarterbacks. What about?
Sorry, four.
Yeah.
I'll say right now, I liked what I saw out of Tua. I thought he played really well against the Cardinals, and I think he's good.
Of the three, which would you guys rather have on your team for just, like, say you can only pick one to have for the rest of their careers? Who would you rather have?
On our current teams that we root for?
No, just, like, say you're starting a team. Who would you like to have of the three as your quarterback? I'll go first. Mine is easily Herbert. He's way younger than Burrow. He's got the wow factor arm. He's not the most mobile quarterback in the world. He's young, though, and I think that he has the best chance to have the long-term, super successful career. I love Joe Burrow. I think, though, that he's already 24, 25. He's already older than Lamar Jackson. I think that I wonder if we've already seen, or we're seeing right now, his ceiling, which is still a good quarterback, but it's probably not that MVP level that I think Herbert can get to. And I think Tua, love what I saw against him last week against the Cardinals. I would love to see more. I've seen one solid week of a Tua.
I'm picking Burrow. I think, first of all, he's thrown like the second most 300-yard games this season so far. He's on pace to break the rookie passing record. He looks good. I know I've said he doesn't want to win, which I still believe he doesn't want to win, but. I think if he gets an offensive line, he's been sacked like 26 times this season. If he gets a good offensive line, I think he's already up there. I think he's a top 15, top half of the quarterbacks in the league already. I think he's even better. You know, Herbert, everyone's gassing Herbert up. I mean, he's played the Broncos. He hasn't played really. I mean, he's had the lead in games and lost.
I think that's more on coaching than anything, because I've watched them take the ball out of his hands multiple times.
It's true. And people always talk about his stats, too. They don't have a run game. He has to throw every play. If you watch him against the Raiders, they ran the ball, like, three times.
I mean, I'd say Joe Burrow's kind of the same, because Joe Mixon / Giovanni Bernard has not been really able to unlock their full potential this year.
I think Cincinnati and the Chargers are kind of the same team.
Yeah, they're very similar.
The only difference is that Keenan Allen wants to play for the Chargers and A.J. Green does not want to play for the Bengals.
I think the two are. I think Joe Burrow and Herbert are very, very comparable, having both great rookie seasons. I would just rather have the 4 years younger of Herbert.
And also Joe has won a championship. He's older, and with quarterbacks, you can play till you're 40, like Brady. So 24 is still young. And he's already more mature, I think, than Herbert.
I think that's just Herbert's face. Herbert just looks 12.
No, he looks 12, but I'm saying when you watch him play, like, he doesn't, he takes a lot of, like, unnecessary risks. Like, he'll try and throw with a guy trying to tackle him, and it It's incomplete, but it's almost a pick. So he just got to learn a little bit more. I'd take Burrow right now.
I think I would take Herbert. I mean, I've been high on Herbert all year. The thing that he's been able to do is their defense in L.A. is pretty bad, but he's been putting up a lot of points against pretty good defenses. It could just be he's got a better situation there. So I wouldn't put all those. I think some of the losses you could kind of go, would have been great to see Herbert really finish that drive. But a lot of the losses have been defensive. So I think Herbert's arm is, you can't teach throwing the ball like that. If you get him a good offensive-minded coach and a couple of pieces, he's going to be in for a really long career. Yeah.
None of us said Tua, but, I think we saw in that Arizona game, I think all three quarterbacks are going to be great and have a chance to be elite quarterbacks for a long time to come.
It's weird watching them throw left, though.
Jake Lutton also.
The old Mitch Trubisky can't throw left.
Well, no, he's left-handed. It's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It's disorienting.
Okay, well, I want to talk some NBA at the end. So if we want to transition into some picks in the game, and then depending on how much time we have left, I would love to talk about some basketball. So in the Thursday night game, we have Indianapolis, who is traveling to the Tennessee Titans. Well, first of all, what would you like to see out of this game, and then tell me what you got?
Well, as A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry fantasy owner, I'd like to see a lot of points scored in this game by both of those players. And I'd like to see the Titans win this game.
I think the Titans win. What I want to see out of the Colts is that they're one quarterback away from being a real contending team.
I would like to see, more than anything, I would like to see Jonathan Taylor be unlocked and not fumble the gosh darn football. He just, every single week, I think it's going to be the week that he starts turning into the elite running back that a lot of people think he could be, and then he just coughs it up, and you see the team lose faith in him. That is
on the
one
fantasy
thing.
Team, I get it.
That is one thing that I would really like to see. Dave, who do you have in this game?
I have the Titans.
I also have the Titans, but I would have Indianapolis if their quarterback wasn't Phillip Rivers.
I'd also like to see Phil make a tackle if he throws a pick. I'd like to see him get the tackle this time.
Just lace
better
one
than,
out instead
yeah,
of lay on his back.
Arms.
Yeah, I'd like get some redemption from last week.
No, I just... The two things that I can't forgive from the Indianapolis Colts is first, keeping Andrew Luck's salary on their payroll, and second, paying over $20 million for 40-year-old Phillip Rivers. I think that is just going to cost them.
Moving's a lot, and L.A. to Indy's a long distance, and he's got a lot of kids. A
lot of kids.
No,
that's like six U-Hauls.
I'm not mad at Phillip for taking that money. He needed it. He needs to support his whole family. Okay. So, the next game, we have the NFC East leading Philadelphia Eagles against the New York Football Giants.
I'm just going to pick the Eagles because I want someone to at least have a decent record going to the playoffs out of the NFC East. I don't like either team, but I just want the Eagles. Just somebody be the front runner, please.
The Eagles just had a bye. Some of their pieces are getting healthy. I'll take
them. I'm also going to take the Eagles. One thing I'm looking for in this game is I want to know if Daniel Jones is a good quarterback or not.
You won't find out.
No one's the season to find that.
I just want to know.
We will never know his entire career.
Yeah, and that's
the
worst.
It's the same as Eli. You won't know. You'll be like, Eli has two Super Bowls, but was he good? This is Daniel Jones.
Well, at least I don't even know. Eli was at least like, oh, yeah, he's a starting quarterback.
Was he?
Sometimes.
Was he?
And I think that's just what we're getting from Daniel Jones, too. It's just a lot of question marks. I would like to just know whether or not I can have a firm opinion on Daniel Jones or not.
You won't.
You can. It's just you'll never know if you're right.
Mine is right now. That's my current opinion
every,
on Daniel Jones.
Every third throw, I'm like, he looks good. And then the other two throws before that, I'm like, what? I
can definitively say he's a quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
Well, and then I guess the other thing I'm looking for is Carson Wentz just being we're talking about unnecessary risk with the rookie quarterbacks. Carson Wentz is looking like a rookie quarterback with all of the like deep shots that he's taking for no reason. All of the
audibles.
Everything that he does, it's just like, is this his fifth year in the league or is this his first year in the league?
I just hope he listens to his coach.
He also doesn't take a lot of ownership for the mistakes. It's like, oh, I liked the look, so I made it.
I think he's letting the MVP go to his head.
I think the Eagles should have fired Doug Peterson after the Super Bowl and promoted Frank Wright.
Carolina Panther legend, Frank Wright.
Okay, so the next game is Jacksonville and their rookie quarterback, who's going to be going to Lambeau to face the Packers.
I think the Packers are going to stomp them.
Yeah, that, Packers by a lot.
What I'd like to see, Will Lutz make another dime to start the game.
Yeah.
Another 40-yard bomb to start the game from my
He looked
that throw was good.
Patrick-esque, where he's just throwing caution to the wind because he doesn't know how long he'll be there.
That throw was good, and after that, I didn't watch the rest of the game, but that throw was good.
Something, it was meh against a bad team.
Something about the Jacksonville Jaguars and being able to draft 6th and 7th round quarterbacks is just elite.
6th and 7th round quarterbacks that are just, like, solid maybe starters.
That somebody's going to overpay for one day. Yeah, give me Green Bay. I would like to see them do better with, like, spreading the ball around. Aaron Rodgers has been throwing, and Adams has had a great year this year. I would just love to see, before I call them like Super Bowl contenders, to unlock more of that offense when you're going to have those games where Devontae Adams isn't going to be able to put up 180 yards.
Is Aaron Jones back?
I think he's back this week.
Yeah.
That is something that I'm looking forward to, but give me the Packers by a lot. After that, a very sneaky game that I think is going to be really good. It's going to be Washington sports team against the Detroit Lions in a battle of who wants to lose the game more.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come down to the quarterbacks, and I think Matt Stafford's better than Alex Smith at this point in their careers, so I'm going to take the Lions.
Is Matt Stafford still concussed?
Yeah, is he playing this week?
Oh, I mean, concussions in the NFL are kind of like...
Matt Stafford's a guy who will just say, no, I don't have one, and they'll let him throw.
Yeah.
Is there any update on the Matt Stafford injury?
I can't tell.
Okay, let's just assume that he's going to play, and if not, we'll just...
Playing.
Head injury? If he's playing, I'll take the Lions regardless, but that's also me thinking that he's going to play.
Yeah, I would like to see Washington return to... the staunch defense that we all thought they were going to be. I know they're missing some pieces still, and they're in a tanking year. We can be real. But I really want to see what Washington can do against a team that defensively they should be able to handle pretty easily. But I will still take Detroit because I don't think they're going to be able to do that. This week, our favorite Cleveland Browns are going to be going to be at home against the Houston Texans.
I'm gonna take the Browns. I think the Houston Texans are also in a tank year. I think they need to tank to get better pieces for Deshaun. So
they don't have their first round pick this year.
Yeah, but they're gonna want a good. They're gonna want a good second round pick.
No, they also don't have that.
They don't have a second round pick.
No, they do not.
That's right. Bill O'Brien destroyed their team.
There's no reason for them to tank.
There's no hope in that locker room. So. That's why they're going to lose to the Browns.
Yeah, I have the Browns too, but I don't think it's going to be a pretty game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a battle of who can throw harder, who wants to lose more. Give me Cleveland. I really want to see how the dynamic duo of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb work together as a backfield. Honestly, I think both of them you could start in a fantasy league and feel perfectly confident in. I think that both of those running backs are potentially top 10 in the league. I mean, the running back position, especially this year, is rather the opposite of deep. Shallow. That's the word.
Yeah. That's a good one.
But yeah, give me Cleveland at home. Baker Mayfield, he is what he is at this point. We all kind of know what it is. We have Tampa Bay, who is going to... I'm sorry, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
There you go, Katie. Going to Carolina.
You know what? I think this is a Carolina win here. I think they played really well against the Chiefs. I think they will manage to get some pressure on Tom, and I think they might steal this one without McCaffrey.
Yeah, McCaffrey is out. All of Carolina's losses, I think, except for maybe one, have been one possession with an opportunity to win. I hope that's similar, but I think Tampa beats Carolina again.
I think Tom Brady and his boys are going to come out angry. I see this as a strong Tampa Bay win here. I would really like to see Antonio Brown. Just what can he do exactly? I mean, we saw him catch two balls, I think. But I think if they want to be a contender this year, they need to figure out what his role is in that offense. And also figure out Mike Evans, because all Mike Evans has been doing is catching red zone 5-yard passes for touchdowns this year. His yards are at an all-time low, and I would really like to see that connection grow.
Same.
It's been real disappointing. So, in a battle of the rookie quarterbacks this week, we have the Chargers, who are going to go to Miami.
Okay, so everyone's all the media guys are out here saying this is going to be a really good game because Herbert, Tua. Here's the thing. Herbert's defense, not good. Tua's defense, elite. I mean, I know Kyler Murray ran all over him, but Justin Herbert's not.
Flores knows how to run a defense.
Herbert's not Kyler Murray, so he's not going to be running around like that. And I think he's going to get sacked a lot. I think he may have been a couple turnovers. He's not going to look pretty in this game, I don't think. I think the Dolphins win.
I'm going to take Herbert. I want to see Tua try and put up a ton of points. And I think that Herbert and those tall lads are going to get it done.
I don't know how many games in a row you have to blow before you, like, start to realize how to hold on to games. But
fire your coach.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's the coach. Anthony Lynn is a good coach for 3.5 quarters, and then in the middle of the fourth quarter, he just
needs... But isn't he a defensive guy?
I think so.
I mean, his defense is unhealthy at the moment, so they don't have a lot of starters. But also, I mean... The special teams problems are their biggest issue, and that's coaching. Special teams is just coaching. You just tell guys where to stand.
I think in all three phases of the game, I think Miami is the better team. Maybe not offensively, but I think they will be competent enough offensively to get the job done. I'll take Miami. Really, really looking forward to that game. I think it'll be a fun one. After that, Denver is going to be going to... The Death Star to face Las Vegas.
That's right. Allegiant Stadium. This is a rivalry game. Vegas and Denver don't like each other. As a Vegas fan, I'm going to pick Vegas, but also because I think our team is better than theirs. And Drew Locke is not good at dancing.
As a non-Vegas fan, I will also be choosing Vegas. I think they're just the better team.
I think Vegas is also a better team. For the thing that I wanted to see out of this game, it was more Drew Locke dancing. So nope. Thanks very much.
His dancing's not bad.
We're not going to give him a reason to dance.
No, maybe he throws like an interception and does like a sad shuffle.
That's pretty good.
Dancing's not always just celebratory.
That's right.
I mean, I think Denver is... I mean, it was looking like it was going to be a lost season as soon as they lost Von Miller. And, you know, 3 wins and staying competitive in just about every game has been... a lot more than we expect to see from them. Probably going to be competitive again here, but I think Las Vegas is the easy call. After that is a very fun one with Buffalo, who's going to be traveling to Arizona.
I mean, what Josh Allen did last week was nearly perfect. I think he had 400-something yards, 4 touchdowns. His grandma just passed away. He dedicated the game to her. I think he dedicates the rest of the season to her. I think he goes off again. I think the Bills beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Josh Allen did all of that against a not-so-good Seattle team defensively. The Cardinals, other than, like, Buda Baker playing as well, their defense has lacked in a lot of these games. So I think Josh Allen does it to him again. I'll take the Bills.
I think this is going to be a Kyler Murray game, and I think this is where the Kyler Murray MVP talks really start to ramp up. I know... people have been whispering that throughout, but I don't know how many people have actually believed it. Better numbers so far than Lamar last year, and I really see them being able to make a run, especially with the NFC West. While they all, records-wise, look very good, I really think that Seattle, with that defense, is going to start falling apart, and I think it's time for Arizona – to step up and start, and I think they're going to start making a run. So, yeah, give me the Cardinals on that one.
Game of the week alert.
This next one?
Yeah.
So the next one is San Francisco, who is going to New Orleans.
Our boy, Nick.
Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins.
Getting another start. Every game with Nick Mullins is the game of the week. You should know this already.
That's what I'm saying. And you know what? This is another New Orleans Saints wake-up call. Nick Mullins rolls up in the Superdome and beats them.
I'm going to take the Saints. The Saints are healthy. The 49ers aren't. Give Nick Mullins the start next year after they trade Garoppolo.
Not a real Nick Mullins fan, Dave. Not a real Nick Mullins fan.
There's not enough around him for him to beat the Saints after coming around.
Logan was thinking to go on Niners, but since I've done it, he's got to do it now.
See, I've been committed into this bit, and I'm just going to keep rolling with it.
That's right.
Give me Nick Mullins. I know the team is hurt, but I want to see Raheem Mostert come back from his injury. I think he's shown a lot in the last 2 years when he's healthy. And if they're able to keep him healthy, I think the 49ers are going to be able to exploit a New Orleans defense who they have
is
a very
Mostert
good run
play?
Defense. He's questionable. I think that New Orleans has a very good run defense, but I think that I think the Saints are going to be scared by Nick Mullins.
Yep.
And that's going to open up the play action into some draw plays. And I really think that the 49ers are going to be able to pull it off in the Superdome. Upset alert.
Of the week.
Break this out. Put this as our Twitter video of the week.
Yeah.
After that, we have Seattle, who's going to face the Rams in Los Angeles.
I think this is going to be a shootout game. It's two teams that don't really have a very good defense, but high-powered offense. And, I mean, I think the Seahawks pull it out. I think Russell Wilson will continue to cook. And I think they'll bounce back from last week.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Seattle. It's hard to bet on bet against Mr. Unlimited back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Their defense is really bad, but I think they'll be meh enough to beat the Rams.
Yeah, I think Jared Goff is just... I think people just know what to expect at this point from Jared Goff. There's really no question mark. Maybe Sean McVay's just getting less innovative. People are talking less about him.
People have figured him out. He's running the same. He's play action. Then he does a jet sweep with Robert Woods like four times a game. I mean,
yeah.
He's young.
He is young and he's handsome. And that gives him lots of points.
That's right.
But not enough points to overcome this highly powered Seattle offense. After this, we have a trap game alert. We have the Bengals who are going to the Steelers, who looked real bad against Dallas last week, and a questionable Big Ben.
That's right. He's on the COVID list right now. I don't know if he's tested. I haven't checked, but he tested positive. He has to test negative in the next days before the game.
Yeah.
But I think that changes it a lot. I think the Steelers without Big Ben, not 8-0.
Oh, definitely not.
If Big Ben doesn't play, which I don't know at this point, if Big Ben doesn't play, I might pick the Bengals. But I'm going to pick the Steelers, just assuming he plays.
I don't think Big Ben is going to play, but I also don't think they're going to put Rudolph. I think we'll see Josh Dobbs, or at least that's the hope, is we'll get to see what he's able to do. He's got a huge forehead.
That's right.
Generally bodes well in the NFL. I think they have a really good defense, and all Dobbs has to do is keep him in the game. So I'm going to take the Steelers.
I'm going to take the Steelers as well. Something that I really want to see in this game is I want to see James Conner unlocked because he has not had a great season up to this point. They got rid of Le'Veon Bell because they thought that they had a sure thing behind him in Connor. I really think that they are going to have to rely on him heavily, especially if Big Ben isn't there. Even if Big Ben is there, he hasn't practiced at all this week, and he's got two hurt knees. So give me Pittsburgh in a close one, but I think they maintain their perfect record. In the 8 o'clock game on Sunday night, we have a matchup that would be really good last year, not as great this year. We have Baltimore going to New England.
I mean, New England had to do everything they could to beat the Jets, so I'm going with the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Ravens. New England's whole game plan to beat the Jets was, if we can make one less mistake, we'll beat the Jets. If that's their mentality to play the Ravens, they'll lose.
I see last week as they were looking past the Jets, and they were already looking at the Ravens. And I think that this is their kitchen sink game. They're going to throw everything that they can at the Ravens just to try to get a stupid result and to somehow try to save their season.
I still think kitchen sink is a throw that's within 10 yards. Anything past that, Cam's overthrown by 15.
I know. Yeah. Cam's just excited that his shoulder doesn't hurt well this year.
His shoulder doesn't hurt, but he's forgotten that
his shoulder still might hurt.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Baltimore. I want to see Baltimore dominate this game because they have the capability to dominate, and they look like they should be just as good as last year, but I'm not sure if it's the offensive play calling that everybody's been talking about this week that it's just been short and hasn't been up to snuff, but I want to really see them dominate and show that they have a chance to be more than a one-season wonder.
Lamar's looked different this season. He doesn't look like, I don't know, he doesn't look MVP form to me. He looks like scared in the pocket.
He's not having as much fun.
He's not having much fun. I don't know what's up. I think they need to get Mark Ingram back and Big Trust back together. But he's like, I mean, he's not even scrambling well, I feel like. Colts game.
But Colts have a really athletic
secondary. I know, but even I mean, he was doing crazy stuff last year to anyone.
Well,
no, I agree. Something looks off.
Yeah, something does look off. I think that just maybe this is a good get-right game for them. Maybe they will have the chance to work towards what they were before. And
I want to see a wide receiver score a touchdown for the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I said this a few weeks ago. Their wide receivers are just, like, they have a lot of wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3s. They don't have the guy.
But they're not bad. That doesn't mean they can't win a route.
They're fine. They're just not. They don't have the go-to wide receiver who you trust to pass to on a third down when you need that reception. They don't have the guy.
Yeah.
Just kidding. They have Dez Bryant.
That's right.
That's really going to be the turning point.
He's prone to dropping the ball when you need him to, though.
Yeah. He's still. I think he's been out of the league since they changed the catch rule.
Yeah, they changed it because of him. I don't think he's had to catch a pass since then.
Yeah.
Okay, in the Monday Nighter, we have Minnesota, who is traveling to Chicago.
Dalvin Cook's healthy, Dalvin Cook's playing. I think the Vikings win, man. I don't think Nick Foles can keep up with Dalvin Cook scoring 70-yard touchdowns every play.
No, I think it'll be Minnesota, and I think this will be the definitive moment for Bears fans and the Bears organization to look at Gase and go, I don't know how he's not.
Nagy?
Or not, yeah, Nagy, not Gase. They had Gase at one
Gase
point,
is
right?
Safe this week.
As Gase a Bears fan, I will let you know that has already been happening all season, and many a Bears fan want his head on a platter.
Well, if you lose to the Vikings,
I think it's going to be the Vikings. I think I said this last week. I still think Mitch Trubisky should be the starting quarterback for the Bears. I think that he unlocks a portion of the offense, especially with a bad offensive line, that Nick Foles can't scramble, can't create anything with his legs. And with a bad offensive line, you need at least that capability to scare a defense or to try to sustain a drive that they just have not been able to do at all this year. And if I have to watch the Bears go to halftime scoring 0 or 3 points one more time, I'm going to absolutely lose my mind. And I know it's going to happen again.
I think the big issue I've seen watching the Bears this season, and I don't watch them with the intensity you do, is that it seems like there is an offense in place, and it's not built for Foles or Trubisky. It is the offense that they're like, this is it, Nagy's offense, this is how it's run, and instead of adapting it to the talents of Foles or the talents of Trubisky, it's just kind of.
So this is what happened in Nagy's first year. He had an offense that he put in place. He tried to mold Mitch Trubisky into that quarterback. It didn't work. He changed the offense, and he tailored it to what Mitch Trubisky does really, really well. And then this year he threw it all away. And then with Nick Foles, he went right back to that original offense. He has one plan. He likes sticking to that plan, even when it has been shown time and time again to not work. It is very, very disheartening to watch. And I can just hope that there is a coaching change in the future. And also they should change the 2017 Coach of the Year award. They should have given that to Vic Fangio. And I think that they should retroactively do that as well.
I think what I've been worried about is, since Nagy is a disciple of Reed, they're not going to go back to another one, and they're not going to hire the offensive coordinator from Kansas City. And I've heard rumblings that they go after Joe Brady from Carolina.
That'd be interesting.
I don't want Joe Brady to leave yet.
He is just getting there, just getting established. I don't know if that's the best idea in the world for anybody, but who knows? That's the end of game picks. Thank you, fellows, for talking some NFL. Let's move into the NBA, where the big news of the day is that the Stars in Houston are disgruntled and are most likely going to be out by the time the new season comes around. What is your preferred destination for a Russell Westbrook?
The New York Knicks. That would be funny. Just watching him flounder around on the Knicks, score like 40 points a game, lose by 28. Don't make the playoffs. And then, is Harden leaving?
Harden wants, they both are unhappy with their current situation and would like either some certainty or to be moved.
I think what Russ doesn't want to play with Harden, Harden doesn't want to play on a rebuilding team.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think the Rockets are at this point.
I think the two things that you got to do, I think you move Harden to the 76ers for Joel Embiid. I would absolutely love to see that. I think they're going to basically just start playing Rocket-style basketball in Philly. And I would love to see Russ on the Kings, because they have a very fast-paced offense. He can play the zero guard. You can keep you put De'Aaron at the one, and you just kind of let Russ run around, do whatever. I think he's one of the most athletic guards that we've ever seen. He's just a freak athlete. I would love to see him run around and try to make that work and turn the Kings into at least just be the leading scorer and be a guy who's been there before. Trade him for for Buddy Hield in a pick, probably. Those would be my ideal scenarios for those players.
Yeah, I would like to see Russell Westbrook on the Knicks, and that's just because I saw that Michael Jordan has interest in Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, go Charlotte.
Because Westbrook is a Jordan athlete,
that's right.
Michael Jordan doesn't know how to run a basketball team.
But who would you like to see as your point guard more next year, Russell Westbrook or Terry Rozier?
Who would be more fun?
Yeah.
Probably Russ.
Or just who would you like to see? You watch a lot of Charlotte games, and for all the Charlotte fans out there, what would you think would just be more fun for your organization?
I think it all kind of depends on like what our draft pick is and if we do anything in free agency. We won't do anything good.
Most likely not.
No. If we were to get Russ, it would have to hinge on the deal we're able to get him. If we give up the third pick, I'm going to be pretty upset. I just don't think, I think the Hornets are doing what they're supposed to do. Contracts are expiring. We're moving in the right direction. If we go get Russ, it's like another two steps back.
No, I would agree with that. And something else that came out today is Orlando is wanting to package their 15th pick, or I think they have 14, with Aaron Gordon and move up into the lottery. To me, that seems like a very interesting trade for the Golden State Warriors, especially with a lot of question marks at the beginning of the draft. They could get a piece, there's a lot of good pieces in the middle of the draft this year, and Aaron Gordon would be a great fourth starter on that team. Would you guys be interested in seeing some Aaron Gordon movement to Golden State?
I'm a fan of Aaron Gordon. I like his game. I think he's underused and underrated in Orlando. I'd like him. I'd like to see what he could do on the Warriors.
Yeah, I wonder if they'd move Wiggins too then, or maybe they can offload DeAndre Griffin. or not Jeff, Draymond Green, he'd be the culture piece for Orlando.
I don't think Draymond is moving. I don't think he's moving anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, and then we get to see the Vukovic show in Orlando again.
Yeah, I mean, the Orlando has too many bigs. They just need one. And
they've got theirs. It's Vuk. I like Vuk.
I like Vuk too. But I like, I mean, Aaron's game is, he's an athletic guy. He can shoot. He can do a lot more than he's doing, and I want to see him do that.
They should just trade Aaron Gordon for Zach LaVine in the pick, and then the Bulls can just have the same thing with a different guy.
You know, well, there's a report today that Dallas is interested in a Zach LaVine and are interested in trading for another star. To all you listeners out there, I'm currently trying to get a PS5 in my cart at Walmart.com. I think
to not much success.
to very little success. Errors continuously occurring. I would love to see that trade. I would love to see Zach LaVine. For a lot of Bulls fans, they think that Zach LaVine would be a great piece to continuously build around. I think we've seen the best of Zach LaVine, and that doesn't result in a contender. I think the best a Zach LaVine-led team can get you is like an 8 seed. And not successful over the long term. I would love to see
what you want from Dallas for what would be like the ideal return for Zach LaVine.
I would probably say Seth Curry, and I would also like to unload Otto Porter, and then also probably 2 picks. That would probably be.
Two firsts?
Yeah, 2 firsts. That would probably be the ideal scenario for a Zach LaVine trade.
I love Seth Curry. So
I think Lauri Markkanen should be off the market completely. I think that Wendell Carter should be off the trade block completely. I think both of those should be the pieces that are built around for the future. But I cannot see Zach LaVine staying in leading a Bulls team to future success.
I saw some today that the Lakers are interested in DeMar.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
I saw they want DeMar. It's gonna make that Raptors pick pretty hard.
I think that lets LeBron take it easy this year. If you get DeMar and LeBron kind of they handle the ball. They can drive and kick. I think if you have both on the same team, you can let LeBron actually take breaks during the game. Especially since he plans on not playing until MLK Day.
Yeah. I think he just fits really well with that team. I think he would pair really well with AD. I think that would...
You could let him shoot threes again.
It's from LA.
Let him do. Yeah.
I think Danny Green and also... who were they also looking at?
Danny Green and Kuzma.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Kuzma. Yeah, I think Kuzma could really use a change of location somewhere else. I mean, he's got his ring, and I really think that could be a competitive team.
The Spurs?
Yeah, I think the Spurs, if they continue to develop their young guards and add veteran presences, and Kuzma, who showed that he can be a good piece on a good team. He might not be starting, but at least as a sixth man, I think he definitely could be impactful, especially for a good young team.
I think Kuzma could start. I think he didn't because AD and LeBron are play his position.
Right.
But I think he's good enough to start. And also, I did say where I want to see Harden go. If they could make it happen, Harden to Toronto would be pretty interesting.
What would that trade include?
They'd have to drop Lowry.
I think Lowry would have to be a part of the trade.
Yeah, Lowry would have to go to Houston.
Go to Houston.
And back to Houston for Lowry. It went so well the first time.
Yeah, and I think Harden on the Raptors is better than Lowry on the Raptors. But that's me. I know you're a Lowry fan, Logan.
I'm a big Kyle Lowry guy.
He's on the wrong end of 30.
He is. He's on the wrong end of 30. He's making a lot of money. I don't know if that's a very. I don't know how tradable.
They're not gonna be able to get VanVleet because he wants the bag.
I think VanVleet's gonna go to. I think he's gonna be a Piston because I think they're gonna grossly overpay for him.
Yeah, VanVleet did say like one of the things he's looking for is the bag.
So well, yeah, he's got a ring. He can go. He can go get the bag. But man, piss! I don't know why he'd go to Detroit.
I think Detroit is one of the only places that, I mean, most people, especially with the cap being as strange as it's going to be this year, it's going. Not a lot of people are going to be spending money, and Detroit is one of the only teams that is going to be able to has any type of cap room.
But then they have Van Vliet and Blake Griffin, and that's the team.
I mean, if you're the. I think if you're the Pistons, you're probably the most disappointed of of any of the lower Eastern Conference teams, and you need something to get your fans excited
about. Here's the thing. If I'm Golden State, let's do a little GM situation here.
Okay,
let's. I'm calling up the Pistons, and I'm like, hey, do you want our pick? Give us Blake Griffin. Because if you get Blake Griffin on the Warriors, that's better than Aaron Gordon on the Warriors. I think that could be better than getting Joel or Simmons on the Warriors, because I like Blake Griffin.
I love Blake Griffin. I don't know what his, I don't know how his knees are feeling, but that would be fantastic.
But he doesn't need to dunk anymore.
He just needs to spread the floor.
Yeah, his game is developed really well. And, I mean, if the Pistons get a first-round pick, that's hope for the fan base. That's hope for the team.
Warriors have a lot of interesting options with their pick.
Yeah, well, it's Friday that free agency starts, and teams are finally
Wednesday
letting
is
do
the draft.
Yeah, so I think that there's going to be a lot of fun stuff coming up. Okay, well, thank you so much, boys, for joining me this episode. It was a great one, as always. Follow us on social media. Our Twitter is @SandyBlowsFish.
Nick Mullins,
remember, please.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, I know you're listening. And, yeah, do your best. We believe in you. Anything else that you guys would like to shout out before we head out of here?
I'm good.
I'll save it till next week.
Okay, we'll wait for the shout-out next time. Yeah. All right, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye!